Imagine holding a braid of sweetgrass in your hands, not just dried plant material, but a living relationship between humans and the natural world. Braiding sweetgrass has sparked a quiet revolution in ecological literature, finding champions from Emma Watson to university classrooms across disciplines. What makes this work so powerful is its unique braiding of indigenous wisdom, scientific knowledge, and personal narrative into a vision of harmony with the natural world. As climate anxiety grows and people yearn for meaningful connections to place, these teachings offer a path forward that honors both ancient understanding and modern knowledge. The sweetgrass itself becomes a metaphor, each strand representing different ways of knowing that, when woven together, create something far stronger than any single perspective could provide. When Sky Woman fell toward endless waters, animals came to her aid. Geese cushioned her fall, turtle offered his back, and muskrat brought mud from below. Dancing in gratitude, Sky Woman's steps formed expanding circles of earth. She planted seeds from the tree of life, with sweetgrass growing first, its scent a reminder of her touch. This story contrasts sharply with Eden's narrative of punishment. Here, humans are welcomed immigrants, receiving gifts from other beings. The story teaches reciprocity, not dominion. Yet, when ecology students were asked to name positive human-environment interactions, they found none, seeing only harm. How can we achieve sustainability without envisioning beneficial relationships? Indigenous wisdom views humans as creation's younger siblings, with much to learn. Plants, our eldest teachers, mastered converting light to food and adapting to change. Sky Woman's scattered seeds left us these mentors. We need only listen. Wild strawberries, nestled in June leaves, aren't commodities. They're gifts that create relationships. Receiving nature's bounty means entering bonds of reciprocity, obligating us to give back by caring for plants and sharing with others. This reveals contrasting worldviews. Store-bought items end at transaction, while gifts like grandmother-knitted socks create lasting bonds. Sweetgrass must never be sold, only given, to maintain its sacred nature. In gift economies, property brings responsibilities, not just rights. Even evolutionarily, the strawberry plant strategy shows mutual benefit. The plant gives berries to animals who disperse seeds, a relationship beyond mere transaction. All flourishing is mutual. Our modern food system has severed this sacred bond with plastic-wrapped industrial products. But we can choose differently. For most of human history, resources were shared commons. Though the market economy now dominates globally, we can reclaim the gift economy that sustains living systems and fosters gratitude. To belong to a place, we must learn nature's wordless language. While scientific language reduces beings to objects, indigenous languages like Potawatomi divide the world by animacy. Bay becomes wikwegama, to be a bay. This grammar recognizes life in all things: rocks, mountains, water, medicines, songs. Calling a tree it creates distance and enables exploitation. While English relies on nouns, Potawatomi is 70% verbs, emphasizing relationships over static objects. As one student asked, wouldn't things be different if nothing was an it? For indigenous peoples, language loss has been devastating. At tribal gatherings, Kimmerer met the 9 remaining fluent Potawatomi speakers who preserve the language through hardship. "We're the end of the road," one warned. "If you young people do not learn, the language will die." To become native to this place, we must learn to speak the grammar of animacy, not necessarily in Potawatomi, but in our hearts. As Cheyenne elder Bill Tulbull said, "They love to hear the old language, it's true, but you don't have to speak it here. If you speak it here, heart, they will hear you." In the garden, corn, beans, and squash exemplify natural cooperation when grown together. Corn provides the structural support, beans fix nitrogen through their root nodules, And squash's broad leaves create living mulch that preserves moisture and deters weeds. Together, they share resources efficiently, each in its distinct niche. This companion planting yields 20% more food than when grown separately and offers complete nutrition, corn's carbohydrates, beans' protein, and squash's vitamins and minerals. In teaching botany, Kimmerer noticed students had theoretical knowledge but little hands-on plant experience. She moved classes to the garden, letting the three sisters teach through direct observation, corn's vertical reach, squash's horizontal spread, and beans' connecting spiral vines. Beyond efficient agriculture, this garden embodies a philosophy of relationships. While industrial farming emphasizes monocultures and competition, the three sisters show how cooperation creates abundance. They challenge us to reimagine human communities, measuring success not by individual achievement, but by collective flourishing. Traditional sweetgrass harvesters honor ancient protocols, offering tobacco to Four Directions, passing the first plant, carefully harvesting stems without harming roots, and taking no more than half from any patch. When sweetgrass began vanishing, basket makers brought their generational observations to scientists for study. The resulting experiment merged traditional and Western knowledge. Unexpectedly, unharvested plots became overcrowded while harvested areas thrived. Traditional harvesting methods increased shoot production by creating vital space and light, similar to how prairie grasses adapted to buffalo grazing. This revealed sweetgrass's co-evolution with human harvesters. People need sweetgrass for cultural practices, while the plant requires human interaction to flourish. Mishko's Kenamogwin, The Lesson of Grass, shows how mindful reciprocity multiplies nature's gifts. All flourishing is mutual and depends on responsible stewardship. This challenges the belief that human interaction with nature is inherently destructive. Instead, humans can benefit ecosystems through traditional knowledge and spiritual respect. Modern studies show the healthiest sweetgrass populations exist near native communities with basketry traditions, proving cultural practices can enhance natural resources. According to Anishinaabe prophecy, the time of the seventh fire marks the emergence of people who must retrace their ancestors' path to recover lost cultural elements, land, language, songs, stories, and teachings. Across Indian country, communities are actively reviving these traditions, restoring ceremonies, and reconnecting youth with the land. The prophecy presents two paths, one green and gentle, the other scorched and harsh. The green path leads to life's continuation. The black path brings suffering through environmental damage. We face this choice now, as scientific evidence warns of climate crisis and depleting resources. As Seventh Fire people, we seek the Shkitkaten, those preserving essential wisdom. Like the birch fungus that keeps an ember alive, these knowledge keepers maintain cultural flames that can reignite our connection to the land. The Potawatomi Mini Duwak ceremony, where one gives rather than receives, reflects nature's generosity, like berries freely offering their sweetness. Yet Earth's gifts, while generous, are finite. Our responsibility now is to give back to Mother Earth through art, compassion, and environmental stewardship. By embracing animacy, practicing honorable harvest, and living gratefully, we can restore our relationship with the Earth. This journey starts simply, kneeling, giving thanks, and listening to nature's wisdom.